I'm Chris.
I'm Buddy.
And I'm Kara, and welcome to the Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
So today we're talking about using industry resources to stay current on topics. We've talked about this a little bit in the past, but there are over 7,000 magazines published in the U.S. annually. So there are
That's a lot of reading resources.
I almost thought there would be more, but I guess 7,000 is a lot.
Well, and it's interesting. I bet if you go back in time, there probably was more, but people just don't, they read things online.
So that's
probably
true.
At one point, there are probably 15 or 20,000 magazines.
For sure.
Oh, and that leads into the next one. So 40% of U.S. adults have reported reading one or more digital magazine in the last 30 days. So a lot of people are reading. They're just reading online instead of actually in their hands. I personally like having like a book or magazine.
Yeah, old school.
I know.
Yeah, you're old school, but not old.
I'm like an old soul. So, Chris, what type of industry resources have been helpful in your career, and then what have you used them for?
So I think, you know, we talked about periodicals and trade publications. So like in our industry, there used to be a handful of magazines. Now there's kind of just like Pipeline and Gas. I'm looking at Buddy, but there's kind of Pipeline and Gas Journal is kind of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they still have the printed media for those who like it, but I think a lot of their readership is online. I think there's also World Pipeline.
Yes.
You guys out of the UK.
Yes.
And they're really good people as well. So, you know, those are kind of the organizations that we've read and we kind of stay up on. I think the other thing is, yeah, you can tell we're in my office.
I think they're doing that on purpose because they want us to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll have a door closed. So anyway, there it goes.
There we go.
Hey, it's the construction guys. So anyway, is the other place that we get, and it's not really periodicals, but we go to conferences and people present papers.
Yeah.
So in the old days, you'd come back and you have a little CD that would have all the papers. So I think that's probably we're maybe more likely to get those kind of publications because they're very direct on the topics we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Do they give out like USBs now?
They used to. Well, they used to. Now it's all online. It's on the cloud.
Oh, okay.
You know? So you get like a username and a password and you go log on. So
that makes sense.
Which really is a lot better because the conferences used to spend a ton of money on making these CDs.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense. So, Buddy, how about you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of digital information now. Querying is much better. So if you're doing your job in sales, there's a lot of, like we talked about in other episodes, I forget which one, about background information. The best compliment I ever had from a client was, he told me, and it was a client at Exxon, he goes, every time you come see me, you have something new for me, something that I really like. I really enjoy when you come see me. But that meant that I had something from the latest standard, maybe something that's on topic with what I wanted to talk to them about the technology. But if you do that, then you're getting a lot of information and using industry resources. And I guess some of the places that you wouldn't think, I'll recommend like Seeking Alpha, okay? Seeking Alpha is where you look at the, it's really the ticker name of the company, but they have the quarterly reports. And in the quarterly reports, you may have what the company's doing for that year, where they're projected, what are some of the executive decisions that they're making. That at a high level gives you an idea of what is actually concerning to the client. Nowadays, with the way these businesses are run, dividends are part of the salary and compensation of the employee. Yeah. So that is very important to them. And when you talk to them about upcoming work, upcoming projects, what is the strategic focus for that company? That's at a high level, something I would recommend.
Cool.
We have so many marketing resources that we look at. We're always slacking each other information, like read this, we can try this and all that. But I really enjoy going to conferences for my clients and sitting in on the technical talks that they have and like the presentations they do. So that way I can understand their industry even more.
Right.
So it helps to have information on my company and then also to be able to get information from clients, for clients.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what benefits have you seen in yours or someone else's career because they contributed to the industry resources? ADD Integrity is huge about contributing to the industry and being educational. That's like basically our fourth quarter newsletter is all about that.
Yes.
So, buddy, tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we look at what your company is trying to do in terms of value to the client on being a resource, educating the client, is you got to curate stuff that you're currently working on that's interesting to the industry so that you keep engagement high. Engagement is very important. We have analytics that support that. But you also want to humanize it. So what I do is I recommend when you have a technology that's complicated, get it into one of the publications where you're actually speaking from a client's perspective in kind of layman's language that you lay out the business case, show them exactly what and sort of humanize the technology, if for lack of a better term. With that, what happens is you get ad time, obviously, and then you get a PDF of the article in a nice format that you get to send out to clients. And so working those channels to have that type of engagement where you don't want to talk over their head, you want to educate them. The best educators can synthesize complicated things and get it to a sizable, digestible piece.
Yep. Yes. Yes, definitely. So, Chris, what benefits have you seen in your own personal career?
So, I told you I was gonna flip it before we started. Uh-huh. I was gonna flip it a little bit. So I think some of it depends where you are in your stage of your career. So, early on, if you're like when I came out of school and I'm kind of trying to build my career, I need to be reading all the time technical things, right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm kind of building up this arsenal. Then, at some point, you go from being the reader to the writer, right? Yes. So then you go and you're the one that people come to conference and you're talking about it. So there's the technical aspect. So whether you're an accountant, an engineer, a lawyer, you need to understand your area, become an SME, and then you need to contribute so that other people are learning from you. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. Then the other part of it is, and we talked about this before we got started, sometimes I feel guilty that I'm not as much up on the technology and the technical aspects of being an engineer. But what I realize as president of the company, that's not necessarily my job. Mm-hmm. Right? We have some really smart people in the organization, you know, and I'll just throw a couple, you got Atul and David and Chance who are kind of driving the technical direction of our company. They need to be doing that. I need to be positioning our company through acquisitions and looking for partners, and Buddy and I are doing a lot of those things. So my role shifts. So when I read books about how to build strategy in the business. I'm not reading about how do you run a fractional mechanics model, right? So for me, it's kind of a weird shift. And I'd say probably even over the past 6 to 9 months, I've come to this realization is like, I need to be getting out of the details and I need to be focused on the long-term vision of the company. One of my observations in our last podcast, we talked about competitors. Sometimes people who are technical leaders in the companies, they never get out of the technical leadership in the organization. They may grow 5 or 10% a year, but they're not going to grow at 50 to 60% because the leader of the organization has got to pivot at some point and start focusing on something other than just the technical aspects of the business. So I mean, to me, that's been a light bulb that's gone off in this podcast is I need to not beat myself up so much that I don't understand the technical things, because there was a time when I did, but I need to shift more on the business drive.
I think a lot of founders struggle to shift into that because they started the business on their expertise.
Right, right.
But as you hire subject matter experts underneath you, then you get to pivot into the visionary.
Right.
That's a hard transition.
It is hard. Yeah, and fortunately for me is like I have full confidence in the guys who are, Buddy, that you and I talk about these younger guys. I have full confidence in their ability to lead the organization technically, so it frees us up. Mm-hmm. And I know you deal with that, and you got Lena and Sarah and the other staff you're going to build. They do a lot of the technical things for you, so it allows you to focus on the business development part.
Yes, definitely. Sure. So one thing we've seen as a marketing company working with technical clients is that all of these industry resources, white papers, presentations, all that kind of stuff that they do, it's incredible content.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes clients get a little intimidated to do it if it's something they haven't done before. Mm-hmm. So we're always encouraging them just to do it because it really does build credibility for them personally. It gives content for their website, for LinkedIn, all of that kind of stuff. And if you can become an educational resource for your client, they're going to be coming to your website or coming to you to get educated. Mm-hmm. And they may not have a need for you right then, but when that need comes up, they're going to remember you because you taught them something and you have resources for them.
Yep.
So it's really great for lead generation and just staying top of mind.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so buddy, what's one practical piece of advice that you can give listeners on using industry resources? I keep like stumbling over that. Like, yeah, anyways.
I got it. I mean, and let me stumble over what Chris was trying to say as well with the having the industry resources being the person that's, you know, educating themselves, giving papers, actually writing great content and creating it. You know, on the flip side of that, in the sales space, especially if you're selling consultancies, is that those leads and efforts turned into multiple leads. So as Chris gets out there to speak to people, that turns into two or three leads, then those leads, you know, turn into nine, and exponentially you grow your network that way because they are, you know, whether it's direct knowledge of you, but they also have you as a reference for other things that they're working on.
Yeah, so, when you're not there, you become a resource, right?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
I preach that so much to my clients. I'm like, let's be a resource.
Yeah, that's the best way to curate content.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, great. Okay, so on our next podcast, I think we should talk about setting goals.
There you go.
So that can be our next topic.
A little before the end of the year, so people go into January, we can help get them excited.
Well, I'd like for you to kind of go into making pictures and putting pictures up where you want your goals to be.
A vision board?
Yes, a vision board.
Should I bring a personal vision board for myself and we can go over it?
We can curate it. Don't start board.
I'm not sure. I think it would be more personal than
what was that guy's name? Fabio?
On a romance novel? I'm not really into long hair.
Okay. So short hair Fabio.
Yes.
Buzz cut Fabio.
I can get my ladies to Photoshop them. How funny would that be?
Yeah, you're an expert at Photoshopping after Anna's PowerPoint.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. Listen to us wherever you get your podcast.
And he won't be on the next podcast.
Yes.
Our construction
guys.
It'll
be quieter next time. And we will see you then.